More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show going strong. We've got the big day in the Pennsylvania GOP primary today for the Senate seat that is open there. And as promised, we have Dr. Oz with us now, Mehmet Oz. And we want to, Dr. Oz, welcome you back and just say, we're calling this closing argument, sir, because the polls, today's the day. What is your pitch? We got a big Pennsylvania audience listening and people all across the country want to know, why should Oz be the guy for the GOP in Pennsylvania?
The reason I am leading in the polls is folks know, and they're coalescing behind me, recognizing that I have fought for Pennsylvanians, for Americans, against powerful insiders my entire career. Most recently, obviously, y'all saw me during the COVID pandemic. I took on mandates and shutdowns. I was what are called the Fire Fauci because he stifled debate. Didn't let us actually talk about what was wrong with these mandates, shutdowns, and vaccine forced procedures. The same twisting of science is hurting our children. You know, all these gender arguments now teach first graders about gender. It doesn't make scientific sense. That's why if you're brave, you say what you see, you'll acknowledge that biologic men should not play women's sports. Here's the good news. This is why I should be the bold voice. It's fixable with strong leadership. And I've been talking about these issues for years, and in Washington, I will represent our Pennsylvania values. Pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-energy. Let's make this the land of plenty again by reducing mindless regulations and the incompetence, the gross incompetence. I mean, who wants to worry about affording to fill up their tank with gas or how about finding baby formula? So with that, all that said, the main reason that you should in your mind focus on this is what Trump said about me when he endorsed me was right. I'm smart, tough, and I will never let you down. Smart to understand the issues. We just covered a couple. Tough enough to not wither when there's blistering criticism coming at us. And I will never let you down. So when you put your head on the pillow at night, you'll know I'll be there for you.
Dr. Oz, what's it going to feel like as a first-time political candidate for those returns to start rolling in? And what do you expect your emotions to be as you watch those come in?
Well, if you want to talk about a tense moment, it's the operating room when there's a bleeding vessel behind the heart. So I'm used to pressure, and I've played sports my whole life, so I guess it's going to probably feel the way I played before I would feel before a game would start. But I'm hoping that once the returns come in, I'll feel a little bit more like it feels during an actual game when you sort of get into the flow of it, you get into the zone. But when you've worked as hard as I've worked with my team, and every single hour, every day is made precious trying to make sure that voters know what you stand for. You feel like you left everything on the field. There hasn't been a moment or an opportunity we haven't taken. So no matter how it turns out, I feel very fulfilled.
Speaking of Dr. Oz, as you know, today's the big day in Pennsylvania. Folks, go into the polls to pick who the GOP nominee for that Senate seat will be. Dr. Oz, why do you want this? I mean, you're a very well-known national, international figure, very successful, made plenty of money. Why put yourself in the fight? Why would you choose this?
I always played the long game. If you look back in your life and you see there were huge opportunities to make a difference, to help others, help mankind, and you didn't take it, then shame on you. I've been very happy. Listen, the OR is a very safe place if you're the doctor, not so much for the patient. The studio is a pretty cool place to be, as you guys know. You get pampered and you have everything you need. Your name's on the awning. That's all. Great ego gratification. But if at the end of my life I look back and thought, oh my gosh, we were in crisis and I could have helped, I really could have made a difference, well, and you didn't do it, that would feel terrible. You feel like a coward. And what defines us is being brave, recognizing, go back to sports. I played college football. And before the game, the last word you'd hear before you ran out there was brave, home of the brave. This is a time that calls for Americans, for patriots to be brave, to stand up and identify what we actually represent as a people. And I would argue it's individualism. It's not collectivism, which is what we saw during COVID, this top-down, one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't, it's an authoritarian approach. It doesn't, that grates on me and doesn't work. If we can capture back the freedom that's represented by being an American, and that can only come by being brave enough to fight for it, then we'll be a successful people. We need leaders who channel that emotion.
When you see these results coming in, obviously your closing argument, you just made it with us, has been focused to a large extent on electability. If you are the nominee, do you believe you are the best candidate to preserve this seat for Republicans, given that Pat Toomey is stepping down? And how much attention should electability, in your mind, focus in on these Pennsylvania Senate Republican primary voters today?
Without question, we have polling data on this. I'm the most electable. I've been in people's living rooms, their bedrooms, every day for years and years. So they know who I am. They don't have to guess. And they know who I am as I have been hosting a show, not as I've been on fake ads attacking my character and decision-making process, because that's $35 million of negativity dumped on my head by mostly people on Wall Street who were trying to buy the seat. So that actually confuses people. They don't actually see who I truly am unless they remember what those shows were like. So that gets to a moderate conservative Democrat audience that is important for us to win as Republicans to gain power in Pennsylvania and to hold on to this Republican seat. I also can get to populations within Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, African-American populations in particular, because I respect the challenges that they face, and I understand exactly what issues tend to attract them. And conservative, especially church-going individuals, respect the need for their kids to hear messages that can elevate them, that can show them a path for empowerment, so they have agency over their future. They don't want to be told they're victims, where they got to sit back and wait for someone to come help them, because if the government's the only person that can help you, the government owns you and controls you. It's the opposite of what we want to message as leaders in this country, but yet that's unfortunately what we have told many in the next generation, and we don't want generational poverty and homelessness and unemployment. That would lead to a stripping away of the vitality of what our country represents.
Dr. Oz, he's up today, folks, in that Pennsylvania race. Go cast your ballots. Dr. Oz, best of luck to you, sir. Thanks for making time for us on Clay and Buck.
God bless for having me on. DrOz.com. Check out what I stand for. Please vote. I'd be honored to have yours.
Team, we'll be back with a whole lot more here in just a few moments. We got every line lit up. We got people that are weighing in from Pennsylvania on who they voted for and why, Clay. That'll be interesting to get to. I want to hear from folks who are actually casting ballots in that state, plus the economy, inflation. We got Charles Gasparino of Fox News, excellent business reporter. He'll be talking to us about this Biden economy. Stick around.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We are continuing biggest and most important and most tight race that's going on anywhere. Lots of primary elections occurring today is the Pennsylvania Senate race. And we bring in now Dave McCormick, who has been running a campaign there to take over for the retiring Republican Senator Pat Toomey. And Dave, we appreciate you making the time to come on with us. We wanted to give you an opportunity. A lot of people out there listening to us right now in Pennsylvania who are making their decision about who to vote for. Why are you the right choice?
Well, guys, thanks for having me. It's a beautiful day for voting. So thanks for letting me talk to your listeners. Listen, what's happening right now is exciting. I mean, if you look at the polling, you see that more than 20% of the voters were undecided, and even those decided weren't completely decided. And so what's happening now is people are recognizing, and they feel angry because they feel like their country's headed in the wrong direction. They see this race is critical to Pennsylvania, critical to the future of the country. And they're asking themselves three questions. Number one, who best represents my conservative values and who's going to go fight for them in Washington? Two, who can win? It's critical we win this election. This will determine where the majority is in the Senate. This is the seat that will send Chuck Schumer packing, send him back to New York with his suitcase. And we've got to have a candidate that can win Chuck Schumer is going to throw everything he possibly can as it's like the Super Bowl. And the third question is, who's going to be able to get to Washington and deal with the crisis we're in? The inflation crisis, the border crisis, which results in fentanyl addiction here in Pennsylvania, the energy crisis that's made us dependent on the world, Ukraine, China, and so forth. And when I go out and I did three rallies yesterday for the last 3.5 months, you know, 4 or 5 times a day, I'm in diners and coffee shops and VFWs and fire halls. And I'm making that case that as a guy who's battle tested, Pennsylvania true, grew up in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, went to West Point, served in the 82nd Airborne, went to combat, and then ultimately came back and ran a big company in Pittsburgh that created 600 jobs and then went on and ran another company. I've lived the American dream. And I'm running for this seat so I can go to Washington to fight to make sure that other kids in Pennsylvania have that same opportunity I've had.
Dave, appreciate you coming back with us. And we know it's a big day in Pennsylvania. And, you know, we appreciate all the folks who are tuning in right now from WHP in Harrisburg and WAEB in Allentown, Pennsylvania, among other stations we have that have big audiences in that state. So folks that are going to be heading to the polls here shortly are listening in. You said you're the guy who can win. Obviously, anybody who's running is going to believe that about themselves, or they shouldn't run. Make that case to us, though. Why is to the folks listening? Why is that the case?
Well, this is going to be. This is not an exaggeration. I think the most high profile Senate race in history, because the stakes are so high for the Senate. Everything that the Democrats can possibly throw at this nominee, they will throw at them. So you need to have someone in this position that's got credibility, that can build an excellent team, that can marshal a great campaign and the resources, and has a great story, a great Pennsylvania story. So my opponent will likely be John Fetterman. And so, first of all, the debate will be around ideas. Whose ideas are better? Are the socialist ideas and the Joe Biden administration's ideas better for America and better for Pennsylvania? Or are America first ideas, ideas that create jobs and create the American dream for other or other people in Pennsylvania? Is that the better set of ideas? So I'm best positioned to be able to make that case as someone who grew up in rural Pennsylvania, someone who has a family farm, someone who has created jobs in Pennsylvania, and then someone who served in our military, went to West Point, served in combat. So I have a unique set of experiences and profile. And I like that contrast with John Fetterman. So John Fetterman is an avowed socialist. John Fetterman sort of positions himself as the tough guy, the guy walking around with the tattoos. And yet I'm the guy who grew up baling hay on the farm and went to West Point, went to Ranger School, served in the 82nd Airborne Division. And John Fetterman has a trust fund and went to Harvard. So there is a good contrast there in terms of bio. And there's a great contrast in terms of what I can bring to Pennsylvanians. And listen, this isn't just a Republican problem. That high inflation, that energy crisis where Joe Biden made us energy dependent, that open border that's killing our communities, those are things that Democrats are really upset about too. And we have a huge opportunity to bring them into voting for us or even into the party. And we also have a huge opportunity beginning tomorrow to unite the party. And so, listen, I'm optimistic. We're going to find out soon enough. I'm optimistic that message is resonating. I feel it everywhere I go. I felt it in the rallies yesterday. I felt it the last couple of weeks, that Pennsylvanians are zeroing in on the significance of this seat, and they realize they need a seasoned someone who is a proven leader who can go fix these problems and take the fight to Washington. And that's why I'm asking for the vote of your listeners, those who haven't voted. I hope you'll go to the polls and vote for me, because I won't let you down. I'll fight for our conservative values. I'll fight for Pennsylvania. I've fought for America my whole life. I'll do it again.
Dave, this is your first election, to my knowledge. What do you think the experience will be like as you have done everything you can and all the votes start coming in tonight when the polls close?
You know, I'm a very I don't get emotionally, I don't get very volatile on this. So I feel like we have run an excellent campaign. I feel like we've done everything we can do to make our case to the people of Pennsylvania. I have a huge amount of confidence in their ability to sort through what's true and what's not true, to determine who's really authentic and who can serve them well. And so I feel great about it. And I think this will end well. And at this point, I've done everything I can do. And I'm proud of what we've done. And I'd be just absolutely privileged not only to run for this seat, but to lead in the Senate on behalf of the great people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Dave, we appreciate your service to your country, and we appreciate you wanting to serve in a different capacity here in the United States Senate. Thanks for making time for us again, making your final argument to the folks of Pennsylvania. Wish you all the best, sir.
Yay, thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
Clay, let's turn our sights back to the economy here for a second. We'll be joined by our friend Charles Gasparino of Fox News, Fox Business in particular, but he's all over Fox. He'll be talking to us about what does this inflation situation really look like? Gas price at another. I mean, you got to give the Biden administration credit, Clay. They are setting records, just not the records you want to set. Like
the
highest.
Worst records imaginable, yeah. Buck. What is going on exactly with the economy? We'll also be joined by Kathy Barnett, who is the third major candidate based on the polls in the final hour. Keep hanging with us.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show here with our third Pennsylvania candidate, the big three today here on the show. Kathy Barnett is running for Senate in Pennsylvania. Votes are being cast. Kathy, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Tell us, why should the good folks of Pennsylvania vote for you to represent them in the Senate, Kathy?
Yeah, listen, I have spent more time with the people in Pennsylvania than any other. From day one, 13 months ago, I kept the main thing, and that is getting to know Pennsylvanians. We have been traveling over 1,500 miles a week, and the people here, they feel squeezed. They feel unnerved. They, for the most part, know something has gone fundamentally wrong with the way our nation is being ran. These past 2 years, we've had the left pounce on us, on our businesses, on our economy, on our children, and people are looking for a fighter. The next time Democrats or others want to come in and begin to restrict our freedoms, they want someone who will stand up in the face of all of that and begin to speak our values and begin to push back on what oftentimes feels like the left narrative. And that is the reason why people are coming to me. I think they're tired of looking at plastic politicians and they want something authentic. And that is what I believe they found in me.
Kathy, I saw a great quote from you where you said you've been running for 13 months and nobody paid attention to you until about 2 weeks ago. And then everybody starts attacking you What do you attribute that to? And do you believe that if you are the Republican nominee, you will win and keep this seat in Republican hands in Pennsylvania? And what tells you that that would happen?
Yeah. Listen, again, we've been running for 13 months. We've been beating down doors, kicking on doors. I was on Sean Hannity's show 7 different times before Mehmet Oz jumped into this race between his radio and television. And not one time did he ask me any of these riveting questions that he now seems to be plagued with. And yet, and in addition to that, for 13 months, 1,500 miles all across the state, we've been in a statistical tie for first place for over 4 weeks. And yet many in the mainstream media, as you alluded to, are behaving as if I just crawled from under a rock last Thursday. And there's nothing, remotely true about that. We've always been here, always been running. But to your question, they've been obsessed with the two men in the race and weren't paying attention to anyone else. And, you know, we had 7 debates. My opponents, Dave McCormick and Mehmet Oz, they only showed up to 2 of those. We had a number of forums. I can only recall seeing them at 2. They refused to get in front of the people. I was always in front of the people. I was always talking about what the people were talking about. And while those two were only talking about each other, beating each other up, all the television commercials, never once really talking about Pennsylvanians, never once really getting in front of Pennsylvanians. And now everybody is so hot and mad that I'm about to win this race. But that's what happens when you don't focus. How am I going to win? I'm going to double down on what we're already doing. Even during this primary, you go to my Facebook page at Kathy Barnett for Senate, you would see me in rooms filled with Black people changing their voter registration from Democrat to Republican. You would see me in downtown Chinatown. You would see news articles being written about me. I can't read it because it's all in Mandarin, but I was down there and they have assured me their vote is mine. You would see me in videos with Amish people walking me in front of a room full of Amish, and you would hear them say, listen to her. She has our vote. Then in every single nook and cranny throughout the Commonwealth for these past 13 months, telling people about our values in the Republican Party, because I believe we have the better values. I believe we have the better story. I just think we keep picking people who suck at telling it. And that's the reason why we're losing. We need better people who can tell our stories, because I believe we have the better story to tell.
Speaking of Kathy Barnett, she is on the ballot today in the Pennsylvania GOP primary. Kathy, if you win, not just this primary, but the race overall, what is the top of your agenda to push in the Senate and to bring home, not just, of course, for your state of Pennsylvania, but for the American people?
Right. You know, right now, you know, Milton Friedman said inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. And yet, if you look around and listen to talking heads, they're looking to the Federal Reserve to fix what the Federal Reserve has broken. Probably almost every issue we deal with in this country is as a direct result of 22 years of real income stagnation for the bottom 90% of Americans. And so my focus is always on the economy. And I believe it starts with clarifying the mandate of the Federal Reserve to stabilize the dollar. When you begin to pivot away from that, now we're looking at the energy sector, right? Pennsylvania. I mean, we're walking on hundreds of years of Black gold. And yet, because of the hostile environment that have created, who in their right mind will invest the billions of dollars necessary to put into the ground, to pull it up out of the ground, to put it through the pipeline? You have Janet Yellen gallivanting all over the world, convincing wealth managers not to invest in American fossil fuel, but she's not telling them not to invest in Venezuela, Iran, Saudi Arabia fossil fuels, just America and Europe. And I believe energy is freedom, right? Ask Ukraine, ask Germany right now. So besides the economy, by starting with the Federal Reserve and stabilizing the dollar, we got to get this thing fixed with our energy sector as well. And quite frankly, I believe Democrats could change all of that tomorrow, if they wanted to. They would just have to admit that everything they have ever said and done has been a complete and utter failure. And what are the odds of them doing that? So therefore, I intend to go there with a big bright spotlight and better ideas and begin to not only do work with the Joe Manchins in the Senate, as well as those on my side, but to bring that narrative back to the American people.
Kathy, congrats on the campaign so far. It's going to be an exciting night for many different people all over Pennsylvania and all over the country in general. Good luck, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to our listeners right here as they make their decision about who to vote for.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kathy, thanks for being with us. Clay, it's going to be
an exciting night, Buck.
A showdown, man. Looking forward to seeing how that race turns out. And obviously, we have more races coming up. These are just primaries. I'm excited for
yes.
the general. It's going to be a good time. We didn't talk about UFOs
Thanks, by the
today,
way,
Clay. I'm just going to say.
You just heard from Kathy Barnett. You heard from Dr. Oz. You heard from Dave McCormick. We appreciate all three of the leading candidates in the Pennsylvania Senate making time for us and for you. And we will be talking about who wins this race come tomorrow, right? It's going to be an exciting night with how tight this one is.
And UFOs, even if Clay doesn't want to. We're talking about it because they're out there. They're out there.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through the final hour of the program. Absolutely loaded show today, as it is an important day all over the country with many of you going to your favorite voting precinct to get in your votes for primary season. We'll talk with Kathy Barnett, who is the third of the top three, according to all the polls, Pennsylvania Senate candidate right now. We've already talked to Dr. Oz and Dave McCormick. And obviously, one of the big factors that people are considering as they go to the polls all over the country is what is going on right now with our economy. And how much of a mess has Joe Biden been as an economic president? We are joined now by Charles Gasparino. He is Fox Business Network's senior correspondent. And so, Charles, you've suddenly seen the Elon Musks and the Jeff Bezoses of the world, big time business leaders and titans, firing back at the incompetence of Joe Biden's administration in a public fashion. What does that mean? Are you surprised that it took so long? And are they right with their criticisms as they address what's going on with our economic situation? And Charles may be answering that question somewhere in the cosmos, but I do not believe he is yet up with us. Is he there now?
There he is. Now he's there. Go ahead, Charles.
Now we got him. Yes, Charles, we got you.
The magic of radio.
Yes.
But getting back to your question, here's the thing that's kind of that's even more interesting than Bezos and Musk, because Musk is kind of like, this is what he does. He, you know, attacks everybody, right? Kind of an equal opportunity abuser. Bezos is not really the CEO. He's not the CEO anymore. He's the chairman, so he's got more latitude. But what's interesting is what's going on with the mainline CEOs who are scared to death of the left, you know, getting called before Elizabeth Warren and, you know, being having the Biden regulatory agenda apparatus go after them. They're even starting to criticize what's going on right now in terms of policy. I mean, you hear Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan, is out there talking about, the lack of results-based policy coming out of Washington. And, you know, Washington is run not by the Republicans right now. It's run by the Democrats. Both parts of, you know, they have the White House, they have Congress and the Senate. So, and Larry Fink talking about that ESG standards and environmentalist stuff has been going too far, that now we have inflation and higher oil prices. So you're seeing it among the sort of corporate elite who definitely were not MAGA Republicans, you know. Some of them are Republican. A lot of them aren't. They're kind of in the middle, to the left and to the right. But they're now going after Biden subtly, I would say, because they don't mention it by name. They run regulated institutions. But they're starting to raise questions about the competence of the administration. And there's no better metaphor of its lack of competence is the fact that you can't buy baby formula right now. It's really kind of an absurd thing. The FDA shuts down a factory and doesn't think, well, maybe if we shut down this factory, we're not going to get any baby formula. And there's only like two producers of the stuff. It's really a sad state of affairs. And it's probably not going to get any better because Joe Biden's not going anywhere for a while.
That's what I was going to ask you about, Charlie. We're speaking to Charlie Gasparino of Fox Business. And CNN right now has a story up, $5 gas. I mean, we have the, Clay and I were joking around, although it's, you know, it's got a rough humor that Biden keeps setting records, not good records. We had, what is it, $4.50 a gallon today, I think, something, $4.52 a gallon today. CNN says $5 gas could become widespread. Why is this, you know, why should we believe that this won't get worse? Is kind of what I mean. Is the Biden administration doing anything that will really ease the situation of gas production and all the effects that that has on the economy?
They're not that I've noticed. Have they started? I mean, they keep talking about how there's all these licenses out there without saying you need additional permits on top of the licenses, which they won't grant. I mean, there's a lot of stuff they could be doing that they're not doing. And, you know, the market sniff. You know, the funny thing is that as much as he gave an inflation speech last Tuesday, which was sad because it was so out there and divisive and actually some parts were really stupid, but you know, he gives us an inflation speech where he essentially lied and misrepresented what's going on in terms of oil expiration, how, you know, yes, you can get a license, there's lots of licenses out there, but you can't get the additional permits to start drilling, and I think the market sniffed this out immediately, or else if that was the case, if it was just a bunch of oil companies sitting on licenses that they can go tomorrow, well, guess what? The price of oil would shoot down dramatically.
Can I just ask you, Charlie, since you've been covering this, is this the most economically incompetent White House you've ever covered?
Well, Obama wasn't such great shakes either. I would say this, they're incompetent in so many levels that it's actually scary. It's not just economics. It's like, and I think it goes to him. I don't think even the lefty policymakers that he surrounds himself with are this dumb. I think I ask a lot of people because they know, you know, some of the people in the economic positions, you know, Brian Deese over at the NEC and, you know, Ron Klain, who's the chief of staff, and, you know, even Janet Yellen. They're not like intellectually limited people. They're pretty smart. My guess it's and the generals as well, right? General Milley. These are not stupid people. They work for somebody who is obstinate and at this point stupid. If you look at what happened in Afghanistan, he overruled the generals. And I'm pretty sure he's overruling everybody on economic policy matters right now as he wants to be. So he's so dead set to be more transformational than his old friend Barack Obama. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, it's in that book from the New York Times writers, and it's so obvious it's true. He thinks he is a latter day FDR, and he's going full bore, and he doesn't care how much economic pain it costs.
Charles, where would inflation be if Joe Biden had actually gotten what he wanted in terms of Build Back Better, and if the Democrat Party had been able to deliver for him as he hoped they would have been? Because it seems to me it would certainly be double digits, and that Joe Manchin saved him from complete oblivion. But how would you assess the overall market situation if we had trillions of dollars more of government spending out there?
I mean, just think about, we have 8% based on what we have now. If you, you know, handed out checks to people to stay home even more, that would exasperate the supply chain issues even more, put much more demand on, add much more to the demand side of the economy. He had tax increases, which would have hurt the supply side of the economy, meaning, you know, businesses and small businesses would have been hit with higher taxes, thus they wouldn't have created as much. I mean, it would have been a recipe for, I've heard people, CEOs talk about 20%.
It's crazy.
You know, if that happens.
So if Joe Biden, I think this is significant because Joe Biden's trying to argue now that he has a solution to inflation. If he had gotten in place the policies that he wanted to put in place, we could be dealing right now with 20% inflation. In other words, why would we trust him at all to solve this issue, given that he would have exacerbated and made it so much worse if he had gotten what he wanted?
You can't. This is such a train wreck economically, presidential train wreck from an economic standpoint, and as I said, many other standpoints. The only thing that is causing, is preventing his approval ratings from going down to like 10% is pretty much having a cheerleading media. And you could see it in so much of this stuff. I see it on social media all the time. We had that lousy inflation print the other day, 8.3%. By the way, the consensus estimated at 8.1%. So it was actually higher than the consensus and it's still at 8%. It was the month before 8.5%, but that's immaterial difference. And I'll never forget, there was a CNN correspondent, Jim Sciutto?
Sciutto, yes.
Yeah, he said, well, at least inflation's getting better. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically, you know, made it out to be like a big positive thing. And I was like, is this guy nuts?
he works for CNN, so there's a decent chance, Charlie.
Is material different? I mean, I know he works for CNN, but does he have any clue about anything? And I actually tweeted at him. He didn't say anything, but it's like, I mean, this guy's got to have his head examined if he thinks this is a good number. And the market sniffed it out immediately, and I believe the market traded it off 600 points that day. I mean, you can't fool the markets on this stuff. But it's really interesting how the media spins so positive for this guy who's actually not nice to anybody. Do you ever notice how nasty he is?
I say this all the time, Charlie. I've been saying that one of the biggest lies is that Joe Biden is somehow a nice guy. He's not nice. He's a jerk.
Nice to his dog?
It's unbelievable. And he had a dog, by the way, they had to get rid of because they kept attacking Secret Service agents. But that's a whole other story.
So his dog is nasty, too. I mean, the apple doesn't fall far.
Not a good sign. I'm going to say, as a dog lover, someone's dog is attacking people randomly. That's usually an issue. Charlie, before we let you go, could I ask you about, we're speaking of Charles Gasparino, everybody, yeah. Fox Business senior correspondent. The only place that so far it seems people are doing pretty well, I mean, you know, stocks way down, 401ks, pensions getting hit hard, gas high, inflation high. Home values, though, have been very high recently. Some are saying, though, that maybe that's an indicator of something, a big correction, real disruptions in the housing market nationally, which could really hurt folks, right, if all of a sudden there's a big correction in housing.
True.
Do you see that coming? What do you think about that analysis?
I don't think so, but this is why I don't think so. I never want to say definitely. I mean, housing prices are way overheated. I mean, they should come down as mortgage rates go up. But, you know, there's two sort of outside factors that kind of intangibles, you know, that are outside the sort of notion that are outside the interest rate scenario. And one is supply. Apparently there's a lack of housing stock out there, right? So you have a constrained supply in place, particularly in hot markets. At least that's what I'm hearing from realtors. That's one. The other thing is that, you know, the tax situation in the Northeast and California and Illinois, does benefit the South. And that's where the housing market is hottest. So the tax situations in those areas are not changing anytime soon. New York is not going to start, you know, embracing supply side economics, at least until it gets a new governor and legislature. So even if it gets a new governor, the legislature is not going to allow for tax cuts, probably. There's a lot of factors built in that will keep housing, I think, not from imploding like cryptocurrencies are imploding right now.
Charles Gasparino, everybody, look for him over at Fox Business. Charlie, come back soon, talk economy with us. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks so much. Look, a good day starts with a great night's sleep the night before. Mike Lindell knows this. He's the inventor of MyPillow. His team has a whole array of amazing products, all based on comfort and helping you get a great night's sleep. You remember when Mike Lindell came on the scene, products like their pillows that started it all, but then they introduced the towel sets, the slippers, the robes, the mattress toppers, Giza sheets, many more. Now's the time to join us and the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep for the better through MyPillow. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are offering a buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple products that you've heard Clay and me talking about here in the past. All you have to do is use our promo code CLAYANDBUCK. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to check out this buy one, get one free deal on select products. With our promo code CLAYANDBUCK, you'll also get a copy of Mike Lindell's book free with your purchase. Again, MyPillow.com. pick out these amazing products. I'm wearing the slippers right now. I do the radio show every day in the My Slippers because they're phenomenal. And then I go home and sleep on my Giza sheets with my My Pillows. It's a pretty good deal. MyPillow.com. Use promo code Clay and Buck. Go check it out.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. He is running for Senate out in the great state of Nevada. Adam Laxalt is with us now. Adam, appreciate you joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
First off, how's it going? How are the people of Nevada responding to your desire to represent them in the Senate so far? Tell us how this race is shaping up.
Well, you know, we couldn't ask for more enthusiasm across the state. People are absolutely fired up to flip the incredibly terrible environment we're living in right now. I can tell you that Nevada's on the top of every list that you don't want to be on. You know, we've got number three in gas, number three in inflation, number three in unemployment, trailing behind only California and Hawaii in a few of these categories. And people are really, really feeling the pain. We also have border issues and crime issues. And so, people just cannot believe that it's gotten this bad this fast in a, you know, closely divided state, a state that was dead even in 2020. To see the far left leadership out of President Biden and our Senator Masto enabling all this all along the way, people absolutely want change.
Adam, obviously, in order to take back control of the Senate, we're going to have to flip some seats. Why is your state and this seat so particularly important, not only for the people of your constituency, but also for the nation? And why are you going to be able, in your opinion, to flip this seat?
You know, I think people are finally coming around to this understanding that the House, you know, should be fairly easy to flip. But there's only a few races that we can flip in the Senate. And Georgia, with Herschel Walker's one, myself in Nevada's another. We only have two other opportunities that don't have clear candidates yet. And so this map is so, so tight. And I can just tell you that because we've been consistently leading in the polls against this incumbent senator, one, she has now been named by, you name the group, Roll Call, CNN this week. Everyone is naming her the most vulnerable Democrat. But as a result, they are spending millions of dollars already trying to get her approval above 40. And just today, this group called Somos is doing a press conference in Las Vegas. It's a Soros started group from 2020 that by the way, has multiple illegal immigrants on its board. And they've pledged $4 million. And they just started a major attack against me statewide. And they're doing the best they can to try to prop her up and take me down. The Democrats certainly understand that this is the seat they have to hold if they want any chance at keeping the U.S. Senate.
Speaking to Adam Laxalt, he's running for Senate in Nevada, and it is a critical seat for Republicans to pick up if we're going to have control of the Senate starting in the new year. So, Adam, you're a lawyer. You were attorney general for the state of Nevada, and so you obviously understand the legal realities of the Roe decision that we're expecting to come down any time now. And I understand you also have a story you might share about why this is not only a massive legal shift that could occur, but also something that's really important to people, including you.
You know, let me first just start with, you know, where we are with all of this, and to see the left continually attacking our institutions, being willing to rip anything down in its path in order to gain power and get its way. It is, you know, those of us that have been fighting this for the last many years, we know about this. Obviously, you guys have been fighting this for a long time, but I hope voters are getting a firsthand experience just how dangerous this is for a republic. If they're willing to, for the first time ever, leak an opinion to unquestionably intimidate Supreme Court justices to change their vote. As Justice Thomas just said a few days ago, you know, the court may never be the same again. The trust may never be able to be rebuilt. And for them to send people to justices' homes where they've got children in these homes, I've got four kids under nine, to be picketed and attacked at our own home, it's not something Americans support. Of course, in this particular case, it's illegal. And to see the Department of Justice not move on this, to see President Biden, you know, basically tacitly approve of it, is very, very dangerous for our republic. And I hope Americans really, really push back, because we can't lose the independent judiciary. Now, as for, Roe in general, there's no question that this was a wrong-headed decision, has been known for a very, very long time. And, why I am pro-life is because my mother had me out of wedlock in the 1970s, and she had a really, really tough call. She was in her early 20s, hadn't graduated from college, and she had to decide whether she was going to bring me into this world. A lot of pressure for her to not bring me into this world. But she made the courageous step to have me. And, it speaks for itself. I would not be here today if she didn't make that very, very tough decision. I'm blessed to have been raised by a single mom, and for her to do so many amazing things to, try to raise me by herself. But we did it. We made it. And, that's certainly a big reason why I'm pro-life.
Adam, that's an incredibly important story you just shared. There's a lot of people with really difficult stories to tell, in particular in Las Vegas right now, which I know is by far the biggest population center in your state. We're number one in the city of Las Vegas right now. That is, more people are listening to us in that city than anybody else on radio. There are a lot of people, blue collar, struggling to get back up on their feet. Why do you have the solution for them that the Democrats don't?
You know, the bottom line is the Democrats are in control of every branch of government at the state level in Nevada. Of course, they're in control of everything at the federal level. And we have a U.S. senator that had the chance to break from her party over the last few years, and she simply refused to do so. And so as the Biden administration came in and commenced their war on American energy independence, now they pretend like they have no idea why gas prices are the way they are. and we are at all-time highs in Las Vegas. People are paying over $6 on average, over $5. And rather than wake up and say we made a mistake, this is bad for everyday Nevadans, everyday Las Vegans, they refuse to change course. They double and triple down. They blame shift. They try to call it the Putin price hike. We also have massive inflation going on. We just posted a picture yesterday of fully empty shelves in a Target in Las Vegas for baby formula. These leaders have proved totally incapable of actually taking our country in the right direction, and people are really, really hurt.
Adam, where should folks go to learn more about your campaign?
AdamLaxalt.com.
AdamLaxalt.com. Good luck to you, sir. Thanks for
we need troops. It's gonna be a big race, and I love the support out there. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We're gonna be joined here in just a moment. Look, we got a lot of candidates on today.
Yes.
We're gonna be joined here by Dave McCormick in that razor thin right now in the polls margin in Pennsylvania, and folks are voting today. We'll get right to that in a moment. Cyber hackers, they're cunning, they're clever. They'll steal your online identity to make a fast buck. Some of them even hack into school databases to get the online identities of kids. Schools or medical offices have databases that are ripe targets for cyber thieves. Help protect your child's identity by limiting how you share their social security number, find safe locations for their documents, and keep your online devices free of viruses and spyware. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal information gets exposed often, making it dangerously easy for a cyber criminal to steal your identity. Protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not spot on your own, like a loan taken out in your name. If you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but it's easy to help protect yourself with LifeLock. Identity theft protection starts here. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year with promo code BUCK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go online to LifeLock.com. Use promo code BUCK. That's B-U-C-K. When you go to LifeLock.com, you'll get up to 25% off, or call 1-800-LIFELOCK.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.